peak there, bro.
There's one. Hi, two.
I like to peak the audio right to start the show. I like to just fuck your ears.
Gotta wake you up first.
Yeah. So we're back on the podcast. We took a couple weeks off. You know, sometimes life gets in the way of podcasting. It happens.
I think it's been two.
It's been two and change, I think.
It's only been 2 weeks.
There's been a lot going on.
You can deal with us. You can deal with us for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we promised to just, because I think we blew our load last year and we did too many horror episodes. And I said, we're just going to do one. We're going to do a little Halloween extravaganza part two.
This burger's going to make you blow your load.
This burger will make you blow your load. So this is Pop Junk Movies with you as always, your host, Adam. To my left, the baddest man, the baddest man on the planet.
Hi.
Corey Flintoff.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm having a love affair with this drink that I'm not going to name till we name drinks.
Okay. And sitting across from me, now they know what it is.
Yeah.
Sitting across from me is, he's working on the beard. It's coming back.
Adam?
Yeah?
I'm bringing the beard back.
I know. I'm excited.
I have to now.
I'm excited.
It's my job. It's a job requirement now.
I like how you're rocking the no sleeves, Amon Amarth shirt. Don't tread on me camouflage hat.
Which is a gift.
It was a gift.
It was a gift from a friend.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing it.
You look like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I do.
So Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. thank you.
I'm sorry I didn't welcome you personally, Corey. Well, you, Corey, welcome.
I feel welcome.
Good, I'm glad. So we're just gonna do. Are we already there? Are we there at the beginning of the episode? We're supposed to get there at the end,
dude. It's been a fucking tough ass week.
Yeah, it's been a long one.
We're starting hot. I'm coming in hot.
We're coming in hot. Tomorrow is the big Halloween party. I throw it every year. It's the 9th annual Halloween party.
I'm
going home in a wheelbarrow.
I'm not going home.
I just want you to know that.
I'm not going home. I'm fucking pulling up some floor right over here, right where I'm pointing.
And I'm
going
to end the night somewhere else. I'm not going to be here.
You're going to be on the train. You're going
to
be on the roof of the train.
Yeah.
Walk me
headed
home
towards God knows
going
where.
To see John Wick.
Me out in my driveway.
John Wick.
Oh, John Wick.
Which we did not see.
Which we did not see.
We're mentioning it for no reason.
We didn't see a lot of things lately. There's been a lot of movies come out.
There was a ton of stuff I didn't see.
Yeah. There's been a lot of movies that come out that I have not seen.
No, I've seen nothing.
There's skeletons in there.
Before we get into it, this is Pop Junk Movies, so it's beer and movies. So what are we drinking, gentlemen? Corey, we'll start with
Guinness,
you.
Guinness, a lot of it.
Guinness, tons. Evan, what is that?
I got some, I got a new beer. I got Shinerbach. Oktoberfest. It's fucking good.
It looks like a light amber hue.
It's got words on it
so
that
Marks
I can't.
In style.
It has words on it that I can't pronounce.
Okay.
But would you like a sip? It's very good. It tastes very clean.
Ed Bones is drinking Germany tonight.
Oh yeah, no,
oh,
that's good. That is a pumpkin lager. I like that a lot. It's not like
really
thick
good.
Like the Sam Adams. It's more of like a Budweiser-y kind of
style lager with some Octoberness.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I like that.
And I have also, I've given up sort of on the pumpkin beers. I'm going back to the old Yingling Black and Tan.
To fake Guinness.
Fake Guinness. I love this stuff. I was getting this shit on draft a couple Fridays ago. Mwah.
You know,
beautiful.
Speaking of pumpkin,
yeah.
I had my first pumpkin spice coffee the other day.
Yeah?
I don't want to go back.
To what? Pumpkin
regular,
spice.
I don't want to go back to regular
coffee. Oh, it's pumpkin spice or nothing?
Yeah, it was just really good. I like my coffee black. I do black with a little bit of sugar and a little bit of water. And at the place that I got my coffee at, they had some cinnamon and some vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I know what fancy place you went to.
7-Eleven.
Oh, I thought it was the Starbucks that's right next door.
I'm going
to
go on a little rant here, okay?
Yeah, do it. This is, now it's coffee and movies.
7-Eleven is the better place to get coffee.
Better than what?
Tell us why.
Better than Dunk's?
Anywhere.
Sell me.
Anywhere.
Better than Dunk's?
Sell
better than
me
Starbucks?
Right now.
No line.
Starbucks?
Yeah.
I don't like Starbucks.
Oh, because, yeah, no line. All right, I see where you're
no
going.
No line.
Yep.
You fucking pour that shit yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
A small cup of coffee, which
fill
is a pretty
yourself.
Decent
not
cup of
sure
coffee, is $1.40, and for a refill is $1.
I like that.
They had pumpkin spice, and you fucking make it yourself. It's better.
All right.
I don't care what anybody says.
This is.
But a big one for me was there was no fucking line because I want to get a coffee in the morning when I go to my little, you know, my class.
Uh-huh.
And Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks is always fucking off the wall.
Yeah.
So I went into 7-Eleven. Nice quiet 7-Eleven. There was no line. I poured myself a nice quiet cup of coffee.
Is this the one right near Park Street?
Yes.
I love that. I love that one.
It's great.
Frequent that little fucking intoxicated every day.
$1.40 for a fucking pumpkin spice coffee.
There you go. It was
fucking great.
Get it on. So, yeah, we're just going to talk. We're going to talk horror movies in general. It's going to sort of a free for all. But I came up with two specific topics that I wanted to talk about that Corey made a top five on.
Oh.
Look at you. Look at you with the top five. Right? You little cutie.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, obviously, when you talk horror movies, slasher movies, whatever, it's always about the villain. I wanted to focus on horror movie heroes. Horror movie.
I like that.
Protagonist.
Because there's not a lot of them.
No, it's not a lot. And they're mostly, they usually are terrible. They're usually terrible actors playing terrible characters. So I figured we could hash out the good ones and talk about them.
I've got mine separated by boys and girls, like an eighth grade dance.
I like it a lot. And then I want to do best horror directors, which is an easy one.
Fair enough.
So let's start with, I'm going to just do a straight up top five. Why don't you give me... Did you make a top five, or you just want to talk about whatever?
I'll just say what my favorites are.
Okay.
You'll be me today. That's weird.
Yeah, we'll bounce back and forth.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so why don't you go first? And then do your heroes, the males. I'll do mine, just top five. This is going to be really eclectic.
Yeah, and then we'll do the females?
Yeah.
All right, so number five, I have Chief Martin Brody, played by Roy Scheider in Jaws and Jaws 2.
Okay. Talk about Brody.
Is Jaws a horror movie?
Yes.
It is. The first one is.
Okay.
It's...
I even think the second one is, I mean, to the fact... It's almost like...
The second one sucks.
It's... No, the third one sucks.
No, the one that's not... I mean, it's not Spielberg. Like,
no,
he's gone.
No, it's all
and
right.
And the magic's gone, and they just kept a couple of the characters. It was a cash grab.
But, I don't know. He's a cool character. He's a guy who's scared of water and boats, but lives on an island.
Yeah, sure he does.
He's a cop. He's a loose cannon. And
is he a cop on the edge?
He is, yeah. No, yeah, he's a man on the edge.
It's mostly because of family problems.
I like it. He's a big drinker.
Yeah.
And I like it, too, because he starts getting way estranged.
Yeah,
and nobody else does it.
Yeah.
Like, goes along with it. But in the end, he gets, like, validated.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that in my horror movies.
Cool.
So, boop. Yep.
All right, very
there
good.
Go.
My number five is a man who's on the run. I don't know why I'm introducing him like this. He's a character played by George Clooney. I'm talking about Seth Gecko.
From man with no scruples.
That is man with very little scruples.
He's probably one of the best ones.
I mean, you know what? I watched the show, the From Dusk Till Dawn show, and I think the thing that that guy did a really good Clooney. But Clooney was badass. Like, Seth Gecko was badass in the movie.
He was scary.
In the show, yeah, he had
scary.
Balls. Like,
yeah,
he had walrus balls. He was like, a cool
He was still,
dude.
Like, kind of unsure whether, like, he was like, a good guy or
a bad guy. And
in the
show, they kind of, he's kind of a puss sometimes.
He's sort of a good guy.
Yeah. So, I love the Seth Gecko character from, I mean, we always talk about how it's, From Dusk Till Dawn is two different movies. He's like, he becomes like one of those horror movie hero icon people, like in the second movie.
Yeah,
like
he's
just a badass vampire slayer. In the first half of the movie, he's a badass bank robber.
Yeah.
He's a fucking, you know, he just gets like all the cool lines.
Alright, and like I feel like he's a bad guy, and then as the movie progresses, he becomes more human.
Yeah.
Like the only thing that made him human in the first half of the movie is that he cares about his brother.
Right.
But that's it. He's a. I mean, they took those fucking people hostage. I mean,
yeah, no, they were bad people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but he ended up being a really cool horror hero. He's a horror hero for me, Corey. Corey, what do you got for number four?
Number four, I have Dwayne Jones, Tony Todd portrayal. Pick your poison.
I was gonna say
Ben in Night of the Living Dead.
By the way, did you know his last name is Hanser? Ben Hanser.
Yes.
I did.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they list it.
They list it in the original.
We can get the Evan City on fucking fumes.
All right, so this was gonna be on my list, so I'll say it's my number four as well, so we'll keep going on this. I had Ben Hanser from the original, Dwayne Jones, the original Night of the Living Dead. The Tony Todd portrayal of Ben in the remake is more of a folk legend for us.
Yeah.
Because he's really good in that. Tony Khan's a very underrated character.
Actor. He's fucking awesome, but he kind of goes for it. He kind of goes, he's a little over the top.
He's way over the top in the remake, and it's funny. Yeah, and it becomes like a joke to us because we've seen it so many times.
When he starts doing karate.
He's obsessed. Special to me. When he's obsessed with shotguns. Do you have any shotguns?
Yeah, shotguns. Like, why shotguns? Just say guns.
He just wants shotguns.
You have any shotguns inside?
He's just obsessed. He is a man on fire. What's jarring about the Ben Hanser character from the original Night of the Living Dead is that he smacks Barbara. There is some abuse going on in that movie, a little domestic going on. And it was just kind of like, it's the 60s, like, whatever.
She had it coming.
No, don't say that, Corey.
It was hysterics. Sometimes you got bring, you got slap out of the back. It was
jarring.
Slap him out of the
back. And obviously we've talked about the obvious thing was the fact that George Romero cast, you know, an African-American to play the lead character
Not written as an African-American.
No, screen tested Dwayne Jones, and he was great. And he's amazing in that movie.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. He's my favorite.
Very iconic.
Yes. He makes that movie. Honestly, to me, he makes that movie. Like, he's the best actor in that movie.
It's amazing.
Kind of sad that, you know, nothing really, you know, his career didn't really take off after that. I mean, that was a super low-budget movie, so.
I was sad the guy from Dawn of the Dead's career didn't take off. That guy was awesome.
We'll talk about him.
Okay, we'll sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So what do you got for number three, Corey?
Sam Loomis. Played by Donald Pleasance.
This is also on my list.
He's fucking awesome as a hero.
I apologize, Dr. Sam Loomis. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. He has a PhD.
A horror movie hero. He's not in it enough. He's in it more in the remake, I feel like.
I do like Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, he was in the new one. Equally that was fucking
amazing.
Yeah,
they got Donald Pleasance though is pretty great.
Yeah, I was gonna say they got just an equally as cool actor in the remake.
They it would have been a disservice to get anybody.
I mean, he's a hero. He's not the main character though.
He's really good in the first Halloween. Like just like the way he delivers those like Carpenter lines, the blackest eyes.
Yeah,
it's true. It's cool. It's good. It's amazing.
Yeah,
great quotes.
He has like a good, I don't know what you would call it like by description, but like he has a good way of talking.
Yeah.
He has like a very good, delivery. Thank you, Sage. Delivery.
He's almost like ominous when he speaks.
No, he is. I mean, it's.
No, it's cool. It's cool as hell. I love his, like he helps make, like he ties that movie. He's the nice rug from the Big Lebowski that ties the room together.
No, it really is. He's like really ominous. He has like really good presence.
Yeah.
And it really sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Couldn't we have gotten a younger Sam Loomis in the remake?
Right? I know, right?
Because it's just Malcolm McDowell.
Look, I know it's a small part.
But wouldn't it be better to see like a younger actor?
So, my number three.
Gordon Street.
Three? Is Tommy Jarvis from Friday the 13th 4, 5, and 6.
But best in 6.
But best in 6. Best in 6. Yeah. I like that dude that I don't know the actor's name. And who
no
cares?
One knows the actor.
He
was in Return of the Living Dead.
Return of the Living Dead, yeah.
Yeah,
he was.
And the one after that.
Freddy. Return of the Living Dead. Yeah.
Whatever Night of the Living Dead, it was like the Return of the Living Dead 2.
Yeah.
He's in Return of the Living Dead and Return of the Living Dead 2, but playing different characters.
Two different characters.
It's just, it's unfortunate, just to go back to the Tommy Jarvis character for a second, it's unfortunate that it, like, they never really established, like, a really good protagonist for that series.
Yeah.
It was always just faceless, nameless, people getting chopped up.
With Tommy Jarvis, they had a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, and they could have extended it a little bit further. They didn't really go for it. Yeah. It was just, he was, like, he played the crazy person that was like, no, it's Jason. He's coming to get us.
He was real. Nobody believed him. It was real, though.
Right.
I like that. I just said I like that in characters.
And
nobody believes him, but they turn out to be real.
Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman was the young. He played Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah, the young
boy.
Yeah, Tommy Jarvis, which was cool. Which was pretty cool. Like his character spans.
And that was a fucking nightmare on set too.
Oh, I'm sure.
The guy, whoever played Jason in Part 4, was like, I fucking hate Corey Feldman. It's on the documentary. His name was Jason.
I have that. That's a great documentary.
And it's really good. It's really worth watching. But he was like, man, that Corey Feldman's a little shit.
Yeah. die. Yeah. He's chopping him up with the fucking machete.
And then they keep
playing
that sound bite in part 5.
Yeah, in 5 and 6, I think they play.
Where you get a bite of Vince's chocolate bar.
What happens to Tommy Jarvis? Does he die?
No, he lives.
No, he lives.
Him and that girl live. And then
they live and they just go away, right?
Yeah, they don't really follow up on it because 7 is the girl with the magic powers.
Fucking bring back Tommy Jarvis!
We should and we will. We'll get there.
Perfect opportunity to revive the series.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so what do you have for number 2?
Number 2?
Tommy Jarvis breaks out of prison to fucking fight Jason.
Well, Buck's tradition on
or
this one.
Jason goes to prison to fight Tommy Jarvis.
They have a boxing match.
I'm writing this movie. I'm writing it right now. I'm writing it on the podcast.
Well, Buck tradition. And say,
all right, sorry.
Say no, Bruce good. Campbell's Ash Williams, number 2.
All right, I'll say that's also.
I mean, why isn't that your number 1? I mean,
I'll say that was going to be my number 1, but since this is so close together, I'll say that's my number 2. We've said enough about Ash that,
and that's why.
Yeah,
it's true.
He like that's the thing. All right, here's the difference between Evil Dead and most horror movies. Most horror movies set you up with a villain, with a killer, with something. That was the only, that is really the only, horror movie that sets you up with a hero. Like, we follow the hero's journey, but in a horror movie.
Yeah, and weird stuff happens. That was going to be my argument, is that I still don't necessarily consider them horror movies to the fact that it's movies about...
Evil Dead, even Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead
2,
yeah, definitely. But it's crazy shit happens to this guy that you're watching right now. As opposed to, and I kind of was going for unsung heroes or underdogs.
All right, I like it. My number one, because it's close to, it's probably my second favorite horror movie of all time. Second or third. I don't know. I'm just going to come out because Evan already alluded to it. It's Peter from, played by Ken Foray in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
He's so good in that.
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he is like... I'm at the point now with Dawn of the Dead where if you're not watching the extended 2.5 hour special edition, you're just jerking off. You're not watching it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to really dig into that movie because there's so much.
Yeah.
It's a very rich movie because they set you up with Night of the Living Dead. It was like these people in a house. I love that whole little, like, it's almost like a one act play.
Mm-hmm.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, it's like one single location.
Yeah, they open it up so much in Dawn of the Dead, and they play with like so many. Like, it is so people didn't start making zombie movies after Night of the Living Dead. It took really until like Dawn of the Dead, and like to really push into like that, like open the gate into the 80s with people making more zombie movies.
Yeah,
and it's clearly the more superior film. More superior.
It's
superior of the Dead trilogy or any of the Dead movies.
It has
more substance.
Yeah.
And it still holds up.
Yeah.
Holds. I think that holds up maybe almost a little bit more than Halloween. And Halloween holds up as one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah.
But Dawn of the Dead is like, you watch Halloween and it's a little dated, and the jump scares don't really get you the second or third time around. It's a lot of nostalgia, and it's a lot of really good acting.
And
it's just classic Carpenter.
Yeah,
but
no,
the thing about Dawn of the Dead is that it's better than any zombie movie that's come out in the last 20 years.
I agree.
It's easily better.
It's almost like it's all of Walking Dead in one.
Yes.
Almost. Because they do the whole, the two main characters are in the mall and just fuck around. They don't care about the zombies. They're just stealing everything. And then they do, humans are worse than zombies because the fucking gang comes in.
They do more, social commentary in that 2.5 hour movie that they've done at all in the Walking Dead series that it's been on for 5 seasons.
I agree, yeah.
Like, you watch that show and it's just so substanceless. Really? Oh, God, Corey.
No,
it says nothing about anything.
Really, yeah. It's really been 5 seasons.
It's been 5 seasons.
Wow.
And it really will say nothing. Like, the thing about, they'll give you, bits and pieces, people are crappy and, you don't trust people. And there's so much more under the surface because, you just tell, Romero is a super smart guy. He just, knew what, And that's the thing is, Kirkman's a smart guy. If you read The Walking Dead,
yes.
There's so much there. There's
was,
so much under the surface that he's trying to say.
I mean,
the show is just so thin.
That was George Romero's, kind of gift to the counterculture, where everybody
totally.
Was hippies love and all that stuff, and that was his response to it. But,
I mean, while we're fucking and talking about it, the problem with the show is it focuses too much on the zombies.
Yes.
The reason why things like Dawn of the Dead and Walking Dead, the comic book, are so good is because the zombies are the backdrop.
Yeah.
They're just the backdrop. The subject matter is not about the zombies.
No, it's the people.
Like, it could be any apocalypse.
Yeah, it's nameless apocalypse. Yeah, it's how the breakdown of society will change.
It's survival. Yeah, it's about humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, Hunger Games is the same thing. Running Man, essentially, is the same
and
thing.
But basically, my overall point is the problem with the TV show is it focuses way too much on the zombies.
I agree.
It's not about the fucking zombies.
No, it's not.
We still haven't gotten the fucking speech from the comic.
Oh my god, the comic is so rich with so many great monologues.
I've been waiting for that monologue the whole show.
Monologue from any issue.
Rick gives that huge speech in the comic and at the end he says, "We are the Walking Dead," and like that's the end of the issue. It's like you just put it down. And you're like, "Whoa, fuck!"
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. What's your number one, Corey?
R.J. McCready.
Okay, good pick.
I like it. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's the main character, the Kurt Russell character from The Thing, if you don't know who he is.
Yeah. And to me, I think he encapsulates everything that I want in a horror movie hero. That he's just a normal guy, he's put in extraordinary circumstances.
Oh, fuck.
And he has to rise to the occasion.
And he's got a sweet beard.
He's got a sweet mustache to go with that
beard. He's got a sweet mustachio. Yeah.
We can just kind of fire off the female characters real quick because I don't have a top five.
Sure.
So I'll name one and I'll we'll just rattle them off.
Dana Polk, played by Kristen Connolly in Cabin in the Woods. She was the main character, the virgin.
Nothing about her really stuck out for me.
She was cool in the fact that it was kind of both survived. Of them, but they didn't.
I know. Well, they didn't in the
But
long
the
spoiler alert.
Yeah, but like the two of them, those two characters.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I just there was nothing about her that I thought that really jumped out at me. I'll do one real quick.
Movie I've never seen, but I've seen parts of it and it's good. I wish I'd seen the whole thing. Lance Hendrickson from Pumpkinhead.
Oh yeah, no, Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, he is
good.
The hero.
Yeah, he's the hero. Yeah.
The unlikely hero.
Put Stew in the whole thing.
It was Tom Harley.
Tom Harley, yeah, there you go.
Lance Hendrickson, underrated actor.
I agree. So let's talk about, I'll throw one out there real quick. Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, Nancy Thompson.
Yes. That's an easy one. She lasted
two movies.
Well,
two real Nightmare
movies. Not in the second movie.
Well,
oh, no, all right, no, New Nightmare.
New
so
Nightmare.
She's in three. New Nightmare doesn't. It's
it
so
doesn't
away
count.
From the
it,
canon.
It's
of,
very strange.
Yeah.
But, Elm Street and Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
And I think the coolest thing that she did was, I mean, before she buys it in Dream Warriors, is she teaches
Kristen.
Like the new class how to kill
and then
Freddy.
She, yeah, and then,
Brad.
Like, Kristen gets powers, and then she passes along. So, Kristen is a hero for. Three, and then four, she dies. She passes her powers to Alice, who becomes the hero at the end of four, and then she's the hero in five. And she's probably the better of between her and Kristen, but obviously Nancy is the best of all the characters. I really wanted to meet her at Rock and Chalk
five
a couple
is
years ago.
Near and dear to me, though.
Yeah. I always kind of had a crush on her as a kid.
She had a big line.
Heather Langenkamp.
Huge line, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a crush on her when I was
she
a child.
Was fucking, she was, you know, I really liked her in
that movie?
New Nightmare.
Yeah.
She's good. That's a weird movie.
It's a very
it
strange
is weird.
Movie.
He's trying to say, like...
Wes Craven's in it. And...
Wes Craven was trying to say a lot of things in that movie, and I don't think as, like, a 13-year-old child, I don't think I got it at the time. I would like to go back and revisit it.
I don't even know if I have New Nightmare. I mean, Laurie Strode...
That's an easy
from
one.
From Halloween, that's
Jamie Lee
that's
Curtis.
Do you have a Nightmare collection?
No,
I
should.
You do.
I do.
I have one, and that's it. It's the only one I own. I just wait for them to, like, maybe, like, two. Freddy's Revenge is on Netflix, and that's probably, I hate that one as much as I hate Part 5.
But you love Part 5.
No, I love Part 6.
Which one was Part 6?
6 is Freddy's Dead.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah. So then it
so
is.
So let
part
me interrupt
six,
this list for a second. I'll give you my definitive rankings of Nightmare movies. Number one is obviously the best. Nightmare on Elm Street is the best.
It's creepy as shit.
Dream Warriors Part 3 is a great movie. Dream Warrior Part 4, Freddy's Dead.
Freddy's Dead is great.
Yeah, Freddy's Dead is
fun. I have a real soft spot for Freddy's Dead.
I do too. I used to go to the Brockton Cinema on the east side of Brockton.
I remember this.
I would pay $3.50.
You saw it in 3D.
I would pay $3.50 and I would see it in 3D. I saw it 6 times. I was
really?
Yes. I used to walk to that theater and I used to watch that
and
movie
it was only
all the time.
End. Only the end.
To finish 3D. Off my list, I'll say New Nightmare after Freddy's Dead, Freddy's Revenge, and then Dream Child sucks. Dream Child has one really good sequence in it.
And we're not counting the remake, obviously.
No, it doesn't count. It's fucking terrible. Dream Child has one really good sequence in it. Remember the kid that's really into comic books and he fights Super Freddy?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a fucking
that's cool
scene.
One that freaks the fuck out of me mm-hmm. is the kid on the motorcycle.
That's oh. five. That's five.
Yeah, and it like starts overtaking him.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate that.
He's got that really weird head.
Yeah, he looks like he's like a robot. Oh.
Yeah, ooh, that is
I'll,
really
I'll
freaky.
Say it again. Watch Never Sleep Again.
Oh, yeah, I have. It is a burn of a documentary.
It's almost 4 hours long.
But it's so worth it. Because
it
you can
really
basically just
it.
Do a movie a night. Because they'll chronicle each movie, probably take about a half hour each.
Yeah.
And, like, they talk about Freddy's, like, his, like, role in pop culture.
Just the backstory
yeah.
in general, how Robert Englund is, like, thank you so much
he
for giving
seems,
me this
he,
chance.
Yeah, he comes off super cool. And
yeah.
a lot of those directors, too, like, you get into, like, the fact that, like, Rennie Harlan did Part 4. Ooh, excuse me. Chuck Russell directed Part 3. These guys went on to do legitimate Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's good stuff. All right, so back to the heroin list. I apologize.
No worries. Ellen Ripley.
Yeah, that's
I was gonna
that's,
mention that.
That's easy.
I was gonna
Jesus
mention that,
Christ.
Yeah. Easily
I mean,
the best.
Yeah, like one of the best. She ends up being one of the best action heroines of all time. Just action heroes. Don't have to
yeah.
cross
hands
genders
down,
or anything.
Hands down.
Especially
and I feel like
from
a lot of people keep bringing up, you know, like those shitty Resident Evil movies because they
yeah.
churned out like 17 of them, and it's like anything that they did okay in those movies,
they did
go
better.
Back
yeah.
and they fucking knock it out the park.
I'm not trying to be a slave
movies.
To like my youth, but like a lot of the lists that I looked at, like they would list the chick from Underworld. I saw one of those movies.
The movies suck.
It was not good.
Not good.
No, it was boobies.
And it really wasn't.
That
either.
Was the
it
was only
PG-13 movies.
Surprised
that was the only part I watched.
Were there actual?
Yeah, there was mm. honkers.
Mm-hmm. I know we're doing heroines, but I'm surprised you guys didn't mention fucking what's his name from Lost Boys.
Star?
No, well for men, I mean.
But he's legit the worst part of that movie, Michael.
Yeah.
Oh,
played by Jason
Patrick. Jason
Patrick.
Yeah,
he's so. Legit the worst part of that movie. Like you
terrible
hate...
delivery in that.
Oh my god!
Don't eat.
Which stuff for? Mr. Johnson.
Oh my god, he's legit the worst. The best
no,
part of that movie,
good.
The Frog Brothers and the Vampires.
Kiefer.
Yeah.
You're
Kiefer.
Dead. Nuh-uh, you're dead. I have the director's cut that banter goes back and forth for 35
You're dead. No,
minutes.
You're dead.
No,
you're
dead.
Do you
no,
know
dead.
What band that guy was in?
Skid Row.
Ugh!
Oh,
really?
Suck it.
Yeah,
he was.
He was the guitarist.
And he was Death by Stereo.
Yeah.
The guy got killed?
Yeah, the guy that died Death
by Stereo.
Death by Stereo. He was the guitarist. I think he was the guitarist from Skid Row.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he was
yeah.
in Skid Row. I think he was a guitarist.
He was the youth.
I mean,
Wild.
Think about what those guys looked like. They all looked like rock stars.
Yeah, they did.
Kiefer
yeah.
Sutherland looked like a straight up rock star. There.
Yeah, he looked like Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Alex Winters.
Jesus
Christ. I was going to say, that was Alex Winters,
of
right?
Of course
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like,
you killed Marco.
You
no,
killed
you
Marco.
Killed Marco.
No,
you, no,
did.
You killed
Marco. I did?
Yeah.
Did
sorry
I
about
Marco?
Sorry about the Lost Boys segue.
No, it's good. That's the point of this episode. All right, what other heroines? I'm sorry to the female gender. We're. Really
I'm gonna say my
list.
Number. It and when I made my list, she was number one. Clarice Starling.
Yeah, she was on mine
Jodie
too.
Jodie Foster. Silence of the Lambs.
Can we talk about Silence of the Lambs for a minute?
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on Silence of the Lambs?
Love it.
That was a movie that eluded me for a really long time.
Love it.
It's a great, great movie.
Yeah. I've not seen the other ones like Hannibal and.
Hannibal's
Hannibal
really good.
Two.
Hannibal Two.
Hannibal Montana.
The only one I've never seen is Red Dragon. I've never seen Red Dragon, which I've heard is decent.
I saw the remake in the theater.
What do you mean remake?
Well, like...
No, Red
Dragon's a remake.
No,
of
it's
Man-
a prequel.
Prequel.
Oh, it's a prequel to Manhunter?
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, maybe
Manhunter is a remake of... Red Dragon
is a remake of Manhunter. Okay.
Starring Ralph Fiennes?
Yes.
Who I love.
Ralph Fiennes and Ed Norton.
Yes.
Saw
in the theater for some weird reason.
And
it wasn't good.
And it's essentially a prequel to Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal, correct?
Yeah, Hannibal is a prequel to Silence of the Lambs, but it's like apparently I don't know. Like the book, is... like the books and the movies, I guess, are so.
Did I say Maneater or Manhunter?
You said Manhunter. Yeah, okay, not Hall and Oates Maneater.
But no, she's great. FBI agent
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. She has to, have Congress with the Beast.
Yes.
In order to find Owain.
Owain. All right. Can I tell you that? Like, I know you take away like, obviously, Anthony Hopkins like is great in that movie. When I watched that movie, I was like, yeah, Buffalo Bill is the fucking best character. The one. Owain.
He's creepy as shit.
Yeah, he's the worst.
The whole end sequence when he has night vision goggles.
Yeah.
She's in pitch black and can't see what's going on.
Yeah, it's great.
And his hand is reaching out inches away from her face.
Yeah. Puts the lotion in the basket.
What was the dog's name?
Get in the fucking basket!
It was like, oh, princess. And she was like, I'll break his fucking neck! I'll break his fucking neck! No, precious thumper! No! Whatever the dog's name is.
I'm gonna download that song.
No. Q Lazarus?
Yeah.
Would you fuck me?
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
I'd fuck me.
Let's just quote fucking Buffalo Bill.
I can't stop talking like Buffalo Bill.
Do we want to talk about Sydney Prescott?
Yeah.
From Scream?
Nev Campbell.
In my mind, only Scream 1 exists because I stand by that as still being a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
It really, like, it's so funny when you think about the concept of Scream, about how they were, like, they were pointing out all, like, the really cliched, like, it was like a satire of horror. And then they went on to make sequels ridiculously, almost like making fun of themselves, but, yeah, like, not clever enough. They thought they were a little too clever.
No, it was more hypocritical.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a good way to put it.
To me, it was like this snapshot when Scream comes out. They're making commentary about movies that haven't been around for a while.
Yeah.
But then based on the success of Scream is a whole influx of new horror movies.
Yeah.
So instead of being like the standalone throwback, it's the fucking diving board, you know, of this whole new generation
I think
of horror.
The thing
with
The thing with Scream that you have to remember is the same thing why I always loved Kevin Smith movies as a kid, and I didn't really realize this until recently, is that there was no such thing as the internet or anything. So when you were referencing things that I liked, like when Kevin Smith was referencing Star Wars, I was like, oh my God, he likes things that I like. There's people out there like me.
Now it's so in your face.
Right. Well, the thing with Scream is they were referencing, you know, Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger and all these movies, and I'm like, I fucking love these movies. Like, I, you know,
all those guys.
It was like making me like that movie even just that much more. But now that like everything is pop culture references, it's not special anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it is what it is.
Well, the thing is too is, I mean, and it makes me think of High Fidelity, where they're like, you guys are like the unappreciated scholars of music, so now you guys have to, you know, kind of pump your own tires by being douchebags to everybody who doesn't know everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But now everybody knows everything.
And that's kind of what it is. Now every single person is an expert in everything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think Joss Whedon blew that all out of the water with Cabin in the Woods, I think.
Yeah, no, he really did.
If
and
you
want to
go with...
I honestly can't
if you
talk
go,
about that movie
With a movie that tossed in the best horror movie references and... and tributes, it's Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna agree.
Yeah,
there's nothing. I've talked too much about that movie. It actually, I don't want to start like a weird debate. It hasn't aged as well for me as it
really?
Has for a lot of other people.
Still my favorite new horror movie.
Oh yeah, no, I mean
it's one of those.
It's the best movie that it's like a, it's standing alone on a pile of crap as far as I'm concerned. So it's hard to.
I hate to say it, but it's like the horror movie to end all horror movies, kind
of. But there's, and I have faith that there's going to be a couple people out there that it's going to, they're going to restart the genre. There needs to be a renaissance. There needs to be a something, and there's nothing right now.
And at the time, I mean, I think we kind of as a group shit on Eli Roth and that sort of camp.
I'm not a fan.
Oh, no, I don't. I actually... don't think. I think Cabin Fever is actually a decent horror movie.
Yes,
oh, did you hear about?
Very good horror
did you
movie.
Hear about what's happening with that movie?
They're remaking it
and using the same script.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Why?
I don't know.
That sucks.
It's weird.
You know, I thought Eli Roth directed that movie. He's not the director. He's like he co-directed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I was reading an article about it being remade.
Oh.
It was like another dude had like more to do with it. He just,
it's very bizarre.
I think it was like Eli Roth just like slapped his fucking name on it. Anyways.
Anywho. All right, let's move on from heroes. And I wanted to talk about...
Oh, to directors.
To directors.
That's right.
All right, we've obviously talked enough. I'd say in for our you know, our taste, it's John Carpenter is probably my favorite. Overall, because I would say, like, I can't pick George Romero, because he's made two and a half, three.
He's got a lot of shit.
Yeah. I like the Strangers. What's The Crazies? That's a good movie.
Yeah,
that his original movie is really good. I've seen that. Dawn of the Dead is his best movie. Night of the Living Dead is his second best movie. Day of the Dead is good-ish, but it's not great.
I tried to watch it the other day.
It's on Netflix.
It didn't really work out because I was a six pack deep when I put it on.
Yeah, which is like, why you would watch it.
Which is why, because sure, I was point. Hammered. But I don't really know what happened.
I think overall for horror director, I think Carpenter is my favorite because he's got the biggest palette. He's got the biggest, like,
yeah.
He's got so many different movies.
He has a fucking decent resume.
It's huge.
I think Carpenter is my favorite director.
Of all time. All right, that's fair. I can take that. I can obviously.
I mean, I just kind of came to that realization if he kept making good movies,
he would be my favorite director. But absolutely. He stopped, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have favorite directors.
Yeah.
He's on a list.
Sam Raimi would be one of the best horror directors.
If
because
he kept
he's
making
made,
horror movies.
Well, I'd say one of the most underrated movies of the past 10 or so years. I can't remember how old it is. Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
Drag Me to Hell is great.
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's a
yeah,
really
that's
good...
That's a scary
that is a
movie.
Solid horror
and
movie.
And you want to talk about jump scares. They're not cheap, though.
Mm-mm.
They're good.
And even that movie had its fucking tributes to Evil Dead.
Oh, totally.
Yes, with the demons and everything. Those were fucking straight... Those were Deadites straight out of Evil Dead.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about Tobe Hooper?
Yeah.
Tobe Hooper had two really great horror movies that really put his... He's yelling from the other room. That really put his stamp on the genre. One being Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yep.
And the other being Poltergeist. But I hesitate when I talk about him and Poltergeist because there's rumors, and if you believe the rumors, it's basically Spielberg stepped in and directed most of that movie.
Yeah.
That's when you, because there's so much behind the scenes stuff going on with Poltergeist that was reported that a lot of people say that Spielberg had more to do with the success of that movie than Tobe Hooper, which
yeah.
I wasn't there, so I can't say either way.
Yeah.
But he definitely deserves his due.
I think Spielberg probably contributed to the budget.
They say he stepped in and really worked with the actors and like set up a lot of stuff.
Poltergeist?
Yeah, there's rumors that like Spielberg basically like
sorry.
It's okay.
That is a scary as fuck movie.
Oh, it's great. We're talking about Tobe Hooper. He had obviously a big contribution.
The other half of it.
Can we talk a little bit about the man that basically none of these directors would be doing what they're doing today if he didn't do what he did, which was Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah.
Psycho. Obviously one of the top five best horror movies of all time.
Which is basically, to me, I think one of the first times that you have somebody who you think is going to be
the main character. Yeah, they do it in Scream. Scream
which is,
was yeah the Drew Barrymore death in the beginning of Scream was a total homage to Psycho and you know
yeah.
what I mean and yeah and that's just a solid movie. It totally holds up.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Like you go back and watch like the old Dracula movie, the one that sounds like a pasta dish, the you know, he sounds like a pasta dish.
Bela Lugosi.
That
yeah.
sounds like an inside joke.
That's an inside joke, sorry. It doesn't hold up for me. It's boring. It's boring. It sucks. Like,
there's
cool
a couple
nostalgia-wise.
Cool.
Frankenstein's better.
There's a couple of visuals that kill me on those that I still love.
But my overall point is that the Hitchcock movies hold up.
Yes.
That the Hitchcock movies are...
Birds is scary as shit.
Yeah, Birds is great. Vertigo, which isn't really a horror movie, is really one of my favorite Hitchcock films. But, I mean, obviously it all goes back to Psycho. It's a slasher movie. It's basically the first one.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's good.
It's fucking scary.
David Cronenberg is a man that we shouldn't talk about.
He makes a lot of fucking gross movies.
Yeah. David Cronenberg movies are a tough watch. Like, I've seen a decent amount of Cronenberg movies. To this day, I still don't. Like, The Fly just freaks my shit out.
I can't watch
also
it again.
Also on Netflix right now.
Yeah, it's a tough watch.
It's fucking scary.
You ever seen Naked Lunch?
I have not.
It's
have you ever
up.
Had a
naked lunch? I have had
no.
a naked
no,
lunch.
It's fucked up.
I know.
It's,
I've heard it's weird as shit.
It's fucking... It's RoboCop, and he's, like, sniffing fumes, and he's a writer,
Peter Weller
and it's fucking
is
weird.
Huffing pain.
He's, like, talking to a typewriter. It's
is,
so
is Cronenberg up. Videodrome?
Yes.
Ugh, yes. That fucking movie.
That's
was
also on Netflix right now.
Videodrome is better. It's Videodrome is better than the others.
It's more. It's definitely more interesting.
It's more interesting. I can watch Videodrome, like, I'll watch if it's on at night, like, as to where I won't fucking go near The Fly.
What's the one where James Woods puts the videotape in his stomach? What movie is that?
That's Videodrome.
Oh, it is Videodrome.
And then Videodrome. And then he has a gun, like, fucking graft to his skin.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that movie is fucking
yeah,
gives me the willies. Altered States, is that Cronenberg?
No.
Okay.
No.
No,
I
don't think it's
Cronenberg.
I'll look
that up right now.
Movie.
Altered
is a weird
States
movie.
Is scary. Well, it's not even scary.
It wasn't scary. It's
just
fucking
strange.
Weird. It's just bizarre.
Yeah. Wes Craven would also go on my top five best horror directors. He's made some not so good movies, but he's made two of the most influential horror movies of the last 30 years.
Movie we probably never talk about, which we should, Wes Craven is fucking Shocker.
Shocker is such
Shocker's fucking awesome.
We love Shocker maybe for the wrong reasons.
No, the right reasons.
It
has a fucking awesome
soundtrack.
It has a great soundtrack.
Yes.
It has a great underrated horror villain, Horace Pinker.
Horace Pinker played by...
Oh, shit.
Fuck, what's his name?
Corey, you're going to have to look that
I gotcha.
Up for me.
It's Mitch Pileggi.
Mitch
Holy
Pileggi.
Holy shit, I
good
fucking
job.
Just
Man.
Pulled that straight out of my ass. Thank you. Mitch Pileggi, great fucking actor. Great, probably the best character on Supernatural.
Yes.
He was
yeah, he played the grandfather.
Grandfather Winchester.
Yeah, I love the Horace Pinker character. That was a movie for the times. You know what I mean? That
yeah.
came out at the like,
early 90s.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good flick. Peter good Berg.
Movie.
Went on to direct a bunch of movies.
Bunch of good fucking movies, yeah.
But yeah, no, totally. Wes Craven, I mean, you could talk about Hills Have Eyes.
Yep.
Creepy fucking movie. Last House on the Left, which is something I indulge myself in.
I mean, of course Wes Craven's awesome. He just...
But he's made a lot of crap.
He's made a lot of fucking shitty movies.
Yeah. Obviously, all the Nightmare movies, Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Is Wes Craven Serpent in the Rainbow? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, which
yeah,
is a great
which
movie.
It was a really cool
Bill Pullman is awesome in
yes.
the movie. Which is a true story based on a guy from Boston.
Yes. And finally, we kind of skipped over it, but I know we've talked about it before. If there's one random-ass John Carpenter movie I can recommend to anybody around Halloween that will freak your shit out, Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's
yeah.
his most underrated movie. Because Prince of Darkness is cool. I watched
yeah,
it once, and I was
cool.
like, wow, that was cool. And then I watched
really
it like a second
good.
Time, and I was like, that's a fucking really original movie.
It has great fucking ending.
Yes.
Love the ending.
Yeah, the ending to Prince of Darkness, which I will not spoil, is
yeah,
very cool.
That's a
yeah.
sketchy movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I still, for some reason, run into people who've not seen Seven. That's a sketchy movie that you have to watch.
We've had this debate before.
Is it a horror movie?
Is it a horror movie or a thriller?
It's a horror movie.
I think it's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie because it's
because
pretty,
of the visuals.
Yeah, that's right. I was
yeah.
going to say, there's some pretty gruesome
If it was a thriller,
stuff.
It'd be off-camera violence.
You're right. I will accept that.
There you go.
And it's,
oh.
it's a movie where the villain wins.
Yeah, good call.
He fucking wins at the
or
end.
Maybe he doesn't.
No, he wins.
No, he does.
Speaking
he achieved
of,
his
he
last.
Won.
I will tell you this right now, that I think Fincher's Opus, you guys, if you want to indulge in this movie, feel free. I don't think you'll like it as much as I did. I just finished Zodiac. It's fucking awesome.
I want to watch
great?
It really bad.
I loved Zodiac.
Really good?
I really, really liked it.
I really want to watch it.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
It's Jake Gyllenhaal. Robert Downey Jr. is really great.
Brad Ruffalo. Not Brad Ruffalo.
Mark
Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Not Brad Renfro.
Not Brad Renfro.
Mark Ruffalo.
It's Ruffalo.
Ruffles.
Classic?
Ruffles.
No, Ruffalo.
And there's a lot of...
No, wait. They're ruffled.
It's a lot of
the instruments.
That's a lot of Downey Jr. and Ruffalo yelling at each other. I was like, oh, Iron Man Hulk action going on here.
Robert Downey Jr. is that?
Yeah, he's. I know. I didn't know he was in it either.
I fucking love Mark Ruffalo.
Who is he in that movie?
He's a reporter that's trying to. That's been following the Zodiac. He's great in it. He's really good.
That's such a scary fucking story.
It's super. That movie is creepy as fuck. It's really good. But the thing about here's the thing with Fincher movies. Like, you guys, I don't think you guys like The Social Network as much as I did. That movie hauls ass.
I like it.
That movie hauls ass. That movie fucking from Jump Street, just like, it just goes. It just, it's like everything. Like, it just,
the
dialogue, it's so snappy.
I like it, but I have the same problem that I had with Wolf of Wall Street, which is the main protagonist
is a fucking jerk off
piece of shit.
Well, you think about the thing about Social Network that I really like is that this is a horror movie episode. What am I doing?
I know.
No, it switches the hero becomes the villain at the end.
Yeah.
But I'm just so Zodiac. It's a thriller, not a horror movie. Seven, I will say horror, not thriller.
Yeah.
But it's a really, really good movie. I really want you guys to watch it.
Speaking of Seven, have you seen the new...
It's on my radar.
Have you seen the new Between Two Ferns?
No, I heard it's
with,
great.
Really good.
With Brad Pitt.
And there's a guest, really good.
Okay, all right. Don't tell me I'm going to get that.
Really it's a spoiler.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
I just lost my train of thought a bit.
No, let's get back to horror for a second. I mean, actually, I talked about most of the things. It's just anything else you guys want to kick out there before we wrap up the show?
I mean, we mentioned George Romero. He's great. He's got a lot of stinkers.
So
he's got a lot of fucking smelly ones.
He's a lot of smelly ones.
But I mean, he's hit or miss. His good movies are really fucking good, and his bad movies are really fucking bad.
I stand by Land of the Dead. That is a good movie.
Land of the Dead is his last great fucking movie.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If you were to sit down to watch any horror movie tonight after the podcast, what would you watch? Evil Dead 2 for Evan.
Of course, Evil Dead 2.
I want to watch Halloween. I haven't seen it.
Halloween's
like a
tradition on Halloween for me. Yeah. I have to watch Halloween.
I'm sure that'll be on tomorrow.
Oh, I just watched Friday the 13th Part 3, and it's still really good.
That's the one I've seen the least.
Yeah,
two and
three I've seen the least.
Three is really fucking good.
Yeah, three is.
It's just as good as six.
I used to buy them according to box art. The box art looked cool.
Yeah.
Which was Part 4 the one with the knife through the eye hole of the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was the, because Part 5 was like the, kind of like the new.
Yeah, I'll refresh
your memory.
Yeah.
Part 3 is the one when he shoots the girl with the harpoon.
Yeah, it's in 3D.
On the dock.
Yeah, it's in
3D. Yeah.
My favorite Jason cover was Part 6. I have the poster on the sun.
Part 6 is the best.
Part 6 is the Jason mask with the cemetery in the background.
Yeah, the headstone.
Badass.
I think I'm going to watch Friday the 13th.
I mean, if we're going to talk box arts, Jason Takes Manhattan's box art.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty boss.
And then there's like been modifications. Like there's the eye Jason mask NY, which is pretty cool.
I did watch a movie that half let me down. Mm. And it was a movie called Right at Your Door, and it stars the kid that was Lucas in Empire Records.
Okay.
He like stole all the money.
Yeah.
And I watched it because it was.
Why is he stealing movies, God?
I don't know. So it's a movie that was essentially, you know, like one location.
Oh, I know what movie you're talking about.
Stuff goes down in LA. And
yeah, it's
explosions.
Like Dirty Bombs and Let Me In.
So we have
that's been out for a long time.
Yeah.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Wait, what was it called?
Right at Your Door.
He has to tape himself in.
Yeah, the girl's on the outside of the door and he's in the inside.
Is it the kid from...
I thought you meant Warren, not Lucas.
Oh, no. The kid that stole the money.
Like,
not
is
the
he from...
Paula Abdul.
It's the kid from...
Jason Confused.
Yeah. You just said that, right?
Yeah. He's also...
I've seen that movie.
He's also
really
Steve
good.
Fleming in fucking Black Mass.
Yes. Yeah, he told me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, when's that movie coming out?
Steve the Rifleman
September Fleming. 2015.
What?
Wow. Set your fucking watch.
Wow, what are they doing, reshoots?
Dude, Kevin Bacon's in it now.
You're gonna be in it twice. What?
What?
Yeah, go.
I thought they wrapped.
No, they're adding shit. Like, I went to the IMDb
page.
God. I was like, when was fucking Kevin Bacon in Black Mass? And why didn't I get that being a scene with Kevin fucking Bacon?
Wow.
I honestly would have marked out more for Kevin Bacon than it did for Johnny Depp. I would have been like, it's the fucking Bacon.
All right, I have a theory. Quick segue.
Apollo Man's on set.
Quick segue. They went and shot all the stuff from the first half of the movie. And now they're going, they're shooting stuff in the second half of the movie.
Probably.
It's gotta be.
They're going to do all the court shit that's going on now.
Or
that was going
on. Maybe.
I think
I don't
that's
know.
What they're doing.
I honestly, I guarantee
Bacon's like an attorney or something like that.
He's Bacon.
They got to rewrite the ending.
Yeah.
It's like Fever Pitch.
Fuck that movie.
But yeah, Johnny Damon, you got the hardest ass in baseball.
Shut up! I fucking hate that movie so much.
But what the
movie? I'm gonna send that movie. I'm gonna send that movie to hell.
Fever Pitch.
Oh,
so
that movie's a horrible.
But right at your door, it was half a betrayal, because it's a little bit slow.
I like that movie,
but overall, I liked it, and there's a good twist at the end. If you remember.
Don't say
no,
it.
No.
Watch it.
I'm
going to put it. Because I wanted to see
it
when it came out.
Can you check it out and tell me
sure.
if I like it or not? Because I'm not positive.
You want me to let you know if it's good or not?
I don't know if
all
I right, like it or
that's
not.
That's fine. That's fair.
I really liked it. I watched it on a whim once on
I gave it a 3 on Netflix.
On a Wednesday?
On a Wednesday. I watched it a long fucking time. It was a couple years ago I watched
it. I gave it a 3 on Netflix.
Does her face melt?
I've liked it.
Ugh.
No, it was like a 2 on the Clydesdale scale.
How is she on the Clydesdale scale?
How many Clydesdales does it take to rip off her face?
So I think we need to get back to normalcy with the podcast. We'll come up with a top 5.
You've lost us
for the next week. But yeah, I figured this was we wanted to. I don't know. We ended up talking about the same movie, so whatever.
Yeah, I know, really.
These are the horror movies we like. I think we need to live with horror movies alone. Oh, what's your favorite horror movie? I was just going to say Mask, but that's too easy. What's your favorite horror movie weapon? Horror movie weapon.
Ash's Chainsaw.
The coolest horror movie weapon of all time is Freddy's Glove.
Freddy's Glove.
Freddy's Glove is fucking awesome.
You know what's cool?
He's got
love the machete.
Classic machete
classic
for Jason.
Machete, yeah.
And you do know what's cool, because you've seen Never Sleep Again, is when Robert Englund talks about how the glove was really heavy.
Yeah.
So he's like, it kind of makes your arm like.
It's how he got
down.
That look.
So he goes, you kind of feel like the gunslinger. He's like, you know, like your arms, like you're ready to draw.
All right.
And I thought that was really cool.
It doesn't have to be a horror movie weapon, but best kill with a weapon.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My favorite Friday the 13th kill is when he took the girl's face. It was a guy or a girl, and he put it into the mirror and just through the RV.
I guess we'll say Friday the 13th, so that was part 6.
Yeah.
You were talking about when Horshack dies.
Yeah.
For me, I think it was in part 5. He takes a leather belt or a leather strap, puts it around the person's eyes, and then back behind a tree and twists a stick around it.
That's
so it tightens
good.
It
That's
like
good.
A vice.
Oh.
That one was fucked up.
The puppet veins from Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 has two of my favorite kills, actually. The puppet veins and Welcome to Primetime, Bitch. When he fucking puts her head through the TV. That part looks awesome.
Yeah,
I do love that. And I do love when he had the power glove.
That's
part 6. Freddy's dead.
Yeah.
I always
and
loved,
it was now you're playing with power.
What's yours?
I always loved when Jason would just take people's heads and just crush their fucking heads.
Yeah, that's great.
He would just and then they just
I mean, the machete through the bed, which I think was Kevin Bacon's kill.
Yeah.
Was
no,
really
wasn't
cool.
A pencil?
No. Kevin Bacon got chopped up.
He got something through the back of something came up through him in the bed and
yeah, that was the machete.
Oh
that was the scene. There's a thing or
through him.
Yeah, because you've seen the special effects behind the scenes stuff.
That was pretty sick. Mm. I think my favorite Freddy kill was when Johnny Depp dies.
Oh, with the blood through the bed. Yeah,
hands.
Yeah. That was a
when
total...
you watch about the filming of it and
yeah,
everything,
cool.
And it was
honestly,
shit went wrong.
The Tina death is amazing.
Yeah,
with the fucking
sick.
When they flip the room and everything and she's
up
on the walls. That is creepy today.
And again, that's all.
You watch
that
tonight, you're gonna be
weird. Things went wrong with that one too. And people were getting electrocuted.
Didn't she almost get drowned?
She almost got electrocuted.
Yeah.
They all did. They were all getting zapped and stuff. They were stuck upside down for 20 minutes.
There's nothing I love more than documentaries on horror movies that they had
absolutely
just struggled to get stuff done.
Honestly,
it's so cool. I love guerrilla filmmaking like that.
Honestly, it's kind of cliche, but watch The Exorcist with director's commentary. You will learn more things, and you will hear about more weird
shit. That's the
than
thing about a lot
before.
Of these Carpenter movies. Lori pointed this out. The thing about Evil Dead, it's like a passion project. It's like, and it yeah, shows. They didn't have to do no, it. They made it because they loved it. It was like, this is what we always wanted to do. The thing about like cash grab movies that come out now, it's just like there's no passion behind it. There's nothing about, like.
It's why people love college football. You're not playing for a contract. You're playing because you love it.
Exactly.
You're playing hard.
It's more. I would say
more pure.
That's more college basketball to the NBA. That applies more to that. Yeah. Not to kill your analogy, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I know what you're saying. Same thing, same point.
And on that note, let's wrap up the horror movie
episode. Yeah! All right. All right,
no, that was good. We only did one.
I liked when Jason X, when he freezes the girl's face and then smashes on the
table.
What
movie was that? I don't know what that movie is.
Oh, come on. Jason X is that
No,
bad.
Jason X exists. It's the one that
oh, okay.
We don't know.
I thought
what
I was trying
about.
To. I was trying to play by our own rules.
And we didn't send that one to hell.
No, we didn't.
No.
Jason X exists because it has one of my favorite scenes in any Jason movie is when he takes the girls
he
in the sleeping
the
bed.
Girls,
and
yeah,
the sleeping
gets,
bag.
I thought that was the one that you sent to hell.
No, we sent.
I don't I don't know what you're talking about.
We have not sent the Jason movie to hell.
Yeah, because there was never one bad enough to do that to.
No. I mean, if they crossed over. I mean, that would just be a bad idea, so we would never have to send them.
Yeah, we would.
That
would
never happen.
They would
happen.
Never do it
anyway. That would never happen. They would never cross over like Jason and another horror icon.
Yeah. Like Michael Myers or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be dumb.
Yeah. So,
The fucking sleeping bag. Because there was a hologram deck, and they were like, run the program of Crystal Lake 1985.
That's good.
Do you want to smoke some marijuana and have some premarital sex? And then he killed them.
That happened.
Because they were
whores.
I'm going to
split the dragon lady with you.
Not
yeah,
many.
Buddy. Yeah, we are.
No, not
yeah,
many.
No, we're doing it.
Three of us. I want to have it.
We're doing it.
We're having this conversation on the podcast.
Yeah, we are. All
right.
Sometimes we fight about drinking more.
I have to cook. I have like a big party tomorrow.
I have stuff to do.
I have
responsibilities
to
too. I will help you make them.
All right, let's wrap up this episode. We'll talk about this on the other side.
Ew.
That was the Horror Movie Extravaganza Part 2. We'll see you next year for Part 3. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.